Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'm Brother Robbins, and this is Open Forum, a Bible study program. You can call in and get Bible answers to all your Bible questions. This program is broadcast every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30 here on Blog Radio, and we invite you to tune in for all your questions or comments concerning the Holy Scripture. This program is sponsored by the Church of Christ in Brookshire, Texas, where I serve as local minister. It's also in cooperation with the Darren Luke Church of Christ, where Louis Parker IV is also a local minister there. With Brother L.C. Parker Jr. on there, with Brother Brown. Good to have you with us, and we thank you for your tuning in to our program. We welcome you to all of our services in Brookshire. At Sunday morning at 9:45, we have Bible study for all ages. At 10:45, we have morning worship services. And on Wednesday at 7:30, we have Bible study for all ages. On the fourth Wednesday of each month, we have open forum in our building where the whole Bible study is all questions and answers. And we invite you to tune in and call in and come out. Just be with us to discuss the Holy Scriptures. We think it's a noble thing to search the Scriptures, as the Bible says, that the Bereans were noble because they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. So we're thankful to be on the air to share with you in God's holy and divine book. At this, we'll pause the word of prayer. We'll ask Brother Parker what our prayer for. Brother Parker.
Yes, it's just a pleasure to be on to tell the word of God, and people ask questions, important questions, questions that will is going to either end up saving your soul or losing your soul. And it's a lot of things going on right now that's really, really working against human beings now, especially in America. You can do almost anything you want to do, and nothing can happen. Nothing may not happen here, but you got to die. And after death, then the judgment. Brother Robert.
Yeah, if you want to pause this time for a word of prayer. Shall we bow for a word of prayer? Our Father and our God in heaven, it is to thee we come with bowed heads and humble hearts, giving thanks for this day and all the many blessings thou hast bestowed upon us. We come, dear Father, in the most humble manner we know how, giving all praise, glory, and honor to thy holy and divine name. We give thanks, dear Father, for Jesus our Savior, who left his home in the world to come to this sin-cursed world, live a sinless life, and yet die on the cross for the sin of mankind. Amen. Father, we are thankful for the church he pushed with his own blood, allowing us to obey the gospel, to become members thereof, that we can all strive to live things to death that ever may be our eternal home.
Amen.
We give thanks for the radio broadcast. We give thanks for the panelists. We thank you, Brother Parker, Brother Lewis, Brother the Fourth, and Brother Brown, and for the idea to conceive to have this idea, this program on live on air. We give thanks for all of our callers and for all the questions. Please, we ask you to please call in with the questions and comments. We give thanks, dear Father, for all the blessings you see with our hands. This be our prayer. In Christ Jesus' name, let us all say, amen.
Amen.
We have a topic tonight we're discussing. Coming from our text, from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, where the Bible reads in verse 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So since the Bible tells us we must serve God acceptably, we have a question for the floor tonight. How do you know when you're serving God acceptably? How do you know that you are serving God? We always hear about people who want to serve God. So the question tonight is, how do you know that you're serving God acceptably? What do you have to guarantee that? What guarantee do you have to know that you're serving God acceptably? That seems to be a very provocative kind of a question. But every question deserves an answer. If the Bible directs us to serve God acceptably, how do we know what we're doing is acceptable in God's eyesight? So that's our question. How do you know when you're serving God acceptably? Brother Parker.
Yes, that's very important. People doing some of everything to go and to serve God, and it's unacceptable been a lot. The worship services are unacceptable unless you do it as God has told you to do. It's in the Bible, see. But people want to go in there and do whatever they feel like they want to do, you know, and that's not any good. You can look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. Everybody tore, a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people tore Ephesians 5 out of their Bible. Well, the Bible says, because see, church now has become ridiculous. You know, in 5 and verse 19, Paul says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Make that melody in your heart. Speaking to yourselves. If you're listening right now, there's a song that I always use as an example. It's a wonderful song. When we sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I, you know, tell me, Horace, what do you do with Jesus? Love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, spiritual words, and hymns, hymns of the Bible. Most songs are taken from the words of the Bible. Singing, singing, not beating, not pounding on an organ or a guitar, or not beating on a drum, singing, making the melody in your mind. Instrumental music is wrong to try to worship God. You can't worship God with instrumental music. You can't worship God with no foolishness. We'll get to more of it, but I know that music got to go. Get them instruments up out of there. Throw them away. Get them out of there. And sing to the Lord. Brother Robert.
Yes, sir.
And
go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sorry about that. And I think that Brother Park and Brother Robbins bring up excellent points. You know, and this is a great topic, by the way, and I hope the listening audience take this topic very seriously and maybe promote some questions even within your own self. You know, am I worshiping the right way? Is my worship acceptable before the Lord? Because that's what it's all about. If we want to stand righteous and justified before God, then that's the question that we ought to be asking ourselves. It kind of takes me back to the Pharisee and the sinner man, you know, the tax collector that Luke told us about. You know, the Pharisee went up to the mountain and they both prayed. The Pharisee say, well, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other man. And then he started telling God what he do. You know, I give tithes of all that I got. I do this, I do that, you know. And the tax collector went up and say, well, Luke tells the tax collector couldn't even lift up his eyes towards the Lord. You know, and all the tax collector could say was that, you know, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. And then Jesus says, according to Luke, that the one that went home justified was the tax collector, the sinner man. Why? It was because his approach to the Lord, in other words, his intent, he did not go with an arrogant approach before the Lord, but he subjected himself. And if we're going to approach God and worship acceptably, then we have to be able to move ourselves out of the way and subject ourselves with the right intent before the Lord. We in Hebrews 12, you know, and when you look at the verses that Brother Robbins read, and then all the verses before that, beginning even at chapter 1, the chapters in Hebrew, a lot has to do with the superiority of Jesus Christ, his superiority over the angels, over everything that was created, his superiority of his high priesthood above the Hebrew priesthood, his superiority of his kingship, you know. So it's talking about the superiority of Jesus Christ. So therefore, we got to do things the way he said do them. Unfortunately, you have many people worshiping today, but when they meet on the first day of the week to worship, they're not worshiping God. Instead, they're worshiping their own self. How do you know that, Parker? Because if they're worshiping the way God wanted them to worship, notice that the song, Brother Parker, Brother Robbins, just notice how beautifully that was sung, how that sounded. You know, and the idea behind it is that we got to do it the way God said. Now, when we don't do it the way God said, but instead come and entertain ourselves, guess what? You got to understand, in worship, who is the audience? The audience in worship is God. We are the performers. He is the audience. So, but however, when we come like many do today, when we come to entertain ourselves, guess what we do? We put ourselves in the place of God, and now we become the audience and the object of our own worship and put ourselves in the place of God. And that is unacceptable worship, and that's exactly what you have going on today.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Parker. So we're looking at the passage of Scripture saying, we're asking the question, how do you know when you worship God acceptably? See, one of the problems we have today is people are always looking at this statement. They always say, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. And that is true. But you have to realize that the other side of it, not only is God good, God is also severe. In the book of Romans, chapter 11, and verse 22, Brother Paul writes, he says, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. See, so just God is just as severe as he is good, because in that very same, the very next verse of our text, the Bible says in Hebrews 12:29, for our God is consuming fire. What does that mean in that context? Just like God is like fire. Just like fire can cook you a meal, that same fire can cook you too. So that's how severe it is. We use fire for a number of things. In its goodness, keep us warm when it's cold. It cooks our meals. Give us hot water to bathe and shower and all these kind of things. But hot water also can kill us too by that same fire. See, so God is kind of in the same way. Just as God is good, he is also severe. God means what he said. When God says something, he means it. So we can't think that, well, God is so good that God wouldn't do this, God wouldn't do that. You don't know that. God can do whatever he chooses. because he's God. The point is, who decides what's acceptable and what's not? God decides that. All through Scripture, he tells us to sing. Especially in New Testament, we're told to sing. We have no Bible authority for instrumental music in worship. Pianos and organs and drums and all of that, we have no scriptural authority to have that in worship in the New Testament age. We have no Bible for that. Now, I want somebody to call us and discuss this on the air, because too many people have been misinformed and misused and abused by that. But we're going by what does the Bible say? And remember, we're teaching the truth and love. We're not trying to bash anyone, not trying to badmouth anybody's religion. We're not trying to put anybody down. We're trying to tell you what the Bible teaches. Now, please call us. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Thank you very much. Brother Parker.
Yes, when we worship God and when we acknowledge God, God then becomes our everything. God is your everything. It's not the fact that you're going to dress up real nice to come and have a good time at church and then all the week just do anything you want to do. That's not the way it works. You got to worship God. Worship him in spirit and in truth, the Bible says. You know, now notice in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ Jesus. And then again it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthened me. Paul was speaking of, we can do everything, anything through Christ. A lot of folk are doing things through the devil. You better believe that. Ooh, hey. You see, out there making the money and stealing the money and dealing, doing things that they can't even afford just to do to show off in front of somebody else, buying stuff to show you how great they are. Wow, my Lord, we got to stop that foolishness. God is our everything. Just live the life of Christ. He'll supply. And when he said in Philippians 4:19, he'll supply your every need. In other words, you might jump out there and get some stuff that you don't need. You can't handle. You see, somebody might can handle one thing and you can't handle the other. That's why you're looking at that basketball game that's coming up tonight. Those guys can handle that basketball. They get paid to handle that, and they get paid more money than some of the others because they can handle it much better. And you can give some people out here a nickel and a nail, and they go crazy. Next time you see them, they're begging on the corners. You know, why? Because they're not knowing how to worship God and where to worship God. We're going to get to that point too. There's only one place you can worship God. That's in his church. Now, what is his church? He said, Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So out of all these hundreds of churches on earth, only one belongs to God. Only one you can be saved in. Only one directs you from earth to glory. And you got to understand that. Brother Parker, Brother Robbins.
Thank you, Brother Parker. So we're saying, let us go to the Bible and just see what it says. I know people get all emotional about this sort of thing, and people get all excited, and some people even go over the deep end with this kind of stuff. All we're saying is, let's go to the Bible. Call us. Let's discuss these things because we're still saying, according to the Holy Scripture, in the New Testament age, we have no Bible authority for instrumental music in worship. I know some folk are talented to play those instruments so well, and some are real gifted, and some get paid quite well for those things. But when it comes down to worshiping God in the New Testament church, we have no scriptural authority to have those things. We must do it the way God said it. We are told to sing. See, we can all sing. We can all sing well, to get paid, but we can all sing because we're directing it toward God. God didn't tell us how well to sing. He just said sing. So he don't say you go to a music school and try to be the best singer in the world. If you choose that, that's fine. But do the best you can with the voice that God gave you But we can all sing. We just can't all sing well enough. We can all sing. So we're saying, as far as the New Testament is concerned, the New Testament church, we have no Bible for instrumental music and worship. If you think differently, give us a call and let's discuss that. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. Let's just see what the Bible says. And I stress, we can't overstress this. We're teaching the truth in love. We love you. We love you. We love you. But we have to tell you the truth. Jesus, our Lord, says in John 8:30-31, he says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, truth has nothing to fear. That's why we welcome people to call with questions, because truth has nothing to fear. It will stand by itself. Lewis Parker the Fourth, go ahead. Are you there?
Hold on, Brother Robbins. We have a question coming in. Let me go to the line.
Yes, sir. The last four of your phone number is 5125. Go ahead with the question.
Yes. This is Brother Brown calling out of Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay.
I had a
amen.
He had asked me, he had said, does the Bible contradict itself? He had asked me about Acts 2:21 and Matthew 7:21.
Acts 2:21?
Yes,
sir. And Matthew 7:21, we'll turn there and we'll read it. And Acts 2 and verse 21 and Matthew 7:21. Well, let's see what it says. In Acts 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, in Acts 2, 21, and it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you say that's Matthew, and the other one is Matthew 7:21?
Yes, sir.
In Matthew 7:21, Jesus, our Lord, said, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. He said, but he that will do the will of my Father is in heaven. He said, for in that day many shall say, Lord, we prophesy in thy name, in thy name cast out devils, in thy name do many more works, and I profess to you, depart from me, you works of iniquity, I never knew you. Now, where contradiction at? Where is the contradiction at? Because there are some who will say that they want our 10 denominations of the world who think they're serving God, and they're not. That's what they're talking about. The ones who think they're saved, and they're not. And see, over in Acts 2:21, when it says, and it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the Lord shall be saved. This call, in this context, is not a verbatim call to heaven. The call in this context is talking about obedience. And we're talking about praying or even call to heaven. They're talking about obedience. Those who obey the gospel, that's how we call. See, God called us by the gospel, and we answer by obeying it. That's how you call on the name of the Lord. Because if you read Acts 22, verse 16, Ananias told Saul, and why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. Watch with thy sin. Call on the name of the Lord. See? So there's no contradiction. Those who obey the gospel, that's how you call it. But those who fail to do it, but think they're serving God, they'll be the ones who turned away. And thank you for the call, Brother Paul.
Yeah, that's the very thing that they're doing. They use that scripture so inappropriate, it's a shame. You know, just call upon the Lord. Just call upon the Lord. He'll save you. You can be out there on the street somewhere just calling upon the name of the Lord. No, God gave you some instructions once you call upon him and obey the gospel. See, call it ain't all. You got to obey the gospel and get into the church, and then you got to follow his instructions, basic instructions before leaving earth. You got to be faithful. You got to meet the Lord every Lord's day, and then it's good that weekday services and everything to teach and to learn and to live and walk the life that Christ has commanded us to live. Some people are going to be saved, and they're out there, somebody's going to get saved, and out there selling dope and running women and drinking and getting drunk and carrying on, doing things, beating up, doing some all kinds of food, and jump up in the church and say, I'm saved. You saved? You hellbound. Brother Parker or Brother Robin. Or
yes.
Brother Brown. Yeah.
Thank you, Brother Parker. So we're saying, yes, as far as the question is concerned, that's not a contradiction. The Bible does not contradict itself. But you got to keep it in its right context. See, any passage of Scripture taken out of context will say anything you want to say out of context. Keep it in the right context. There are those who will think they're saved and God will turn them away. That's just how it is. And that's what we're referring to, those folks who thought they were saved and claiming doing things in Jesus' name, and he and him never, them never obeyed the gospel. That's why he said, "I never knew you. I didn't recognize you on the mind because you didn't do it the way I said it." See, you must go back to where the mistake was made. See, you cannot be taught wrongly and baptized right. It doesn't work that way. What makes your baptism valid is the teaching that precedes it. You got to be taught and taught properly, because we got cases in the Bible where folk who thought they were saved and they were not because they had been mistaught. You can't be taught wrongly and yet be right in the sight of God. No, what makes the baptism valid? Teaching that precedes. Turn your Bible to Acts 19. Should be over at Acts. Go to Acts 19. We're going to read it and watch. We're going to find some people over there who had been baptized, but they weren't taught properly. Now let's see what happens. In Acts 19, at verse number 1, the Bible reads, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, 'Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?' And they said unto him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost.' And he said unto them, 'Unto what then were you baptized?'" In other words, what were you taught upon being baptized? "And they said, 'Unto John's baptism,'" talking about John the Baptist. "Then said Paul, 'John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that's on Christ Jesus.' When they heard this," verse 5, "when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." You notice he didn't say they were rebaptized, because they realized upon being mistaught the first time that baptism they received was invalid. They only got wet. They had to go back to where the mistake was made in the teaching and do it over again. And you notice they wasn't rebaptized because the first did no good at all. See, you can't be taught wrongly and baptized, right? It doesn't work that way. You must be taught and taught properly. If you were taught it's okay to have instrument music and worship and been baptized in that, you're in the same category. If you've been taught that one church is as good as another, you're in the same category. If you've been taught the Old Testament is still valid and keeping the Ten Commandments is good enough today, you are in the same category because you've been mistaught. You must go back to where the mistake was made. And many folks in that same category because they've been taught and taught wrongly or just made a mistake along the way. I'm not saying anybody's a bad person. Anybody can make a mistake, but you have to go back to where the mistake was made in the teaching. You got to get it right in the first place. You got to be taught and taught properly. And you notice in this text, nowhere was anybody ever told to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That's nowhere in the Bible. That sounds good and it's fanciful today, and many people use that. But I can't find that anywhere in the Bible. I would love for somebody to call us and show us where. Maybe I've missed it all these years. But I want somebody to call us and show us where they found where someone was told for salvation, just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Will somebody please call us and let us know where it's found. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. I can't find that anywhere in Scripture. I would love somebody to call me and tell me where it's at. Where is it found? Not only that, where is it found where Christians can have instrumental music and worship? Show me that in New Testament church. Show us that. Number to call is 1-347-850-8256. Brother Paul.
Yes, one thing about this. Look at your Bible. The Bible has always had instruction from Genesis to Revelation. We have Bible instructions that will lead us to heaven. You know, the Bible is the book of all books. Now, notice this. You, if you are a member, God is not, how you become, go to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18. Isaiah 1:18. Well, the Bible states, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red, like crimson they shall be wool as wool. He told people under the law that they could have themselves to die and go to heaven. But they got to come and reason with him now. When folk don't even want to reason with you, get in your Bible and you will come to a conclusion that God is right. Are you doing right? You want to accept God? Find the right church. It's in the Bible. And then he said, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. People are running around here talking about they're in this so-called churches and got music and banging and doing a good job. God didn't call you there. You're going to be devoured with fire in the end. You're not going to be able to live the life. See, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What are you talking about, Jesus? When you obey the Lord, the gospel, and become a member of the body of Christ and live the right life, you get the finest life you could have ever lived on earth. And you'll get the most wonderful life eternally in heaven. You go through some stuff down here with it, but he'll take you through those trials and tribulations. He'll make you you and bless you for being you in him through the obedience of his word. No mechanical instruments of music in the service. Don't go and go to a church that the man called himself reverend or pastor. No, he could be evangelist, a preacher, a minister in the church. One church in the Bible to get into. One way to get into that church. You got to hear the word. Acts 15 and 7. You got to believe the word. Hebrews 11 and 6. You've got to repent. Luke chapter 13 and 3. You've got to confess Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew 10 and 32. And you must be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. If you follow that course, then you are a member of the biblical church. You be faithful. Do God's will. And God will bless you, and you stay with God and obey his word, everything will be all right. You know, but sometimes some people want to get in the church, one foot in the church and one foot in the world. You can't do that. You can't have a foot, try to put one foot in heaven and the other in hell. You've got to do as God said do. And when you do it, he'll let you know how great it is, and he'll be blessing you so until you can't stop anymore. People say, man, you've been preaching all these years. I can't stop. Ooh-wee. I know what God has brought me through. I know how he has blessed me. I know what God did for me. Brother Parker, Brother Robin.
Thank you, Brother Parker. We want people to call us to discuss these things because the program really is for you. The program is not for us.
Amen.
I'm here. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. We have another question. Hold on 1 second.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Slay, go ahead.
My question is that the Bible said that we worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, how do I worship God in the spirit when I'm in the church? How do I do that? Is that in the mind? Do I see Jesus the way I see him on the right hand of God? Or do other people see him a different way when they in the church? The spirit, man, how do I worship God?
Well, let me explain what the spirit means in that context, ma'am. That was talking about your spirit. It wasn't talking about the Holy Spirit. It was talking about your spirit. You got to have the right attitude. Church, never talking about the right attitude, the right frame of mind. You got to have the right spirit, and it's according to what the Bible teaches, the truth of what the Holy Spirit has given us by the written word. That's how you worship God, in spirit and in truth. Have the right spirit and what the Bible dictates by way of the word. That's how you do it, in spirit and in truth. See, that's how it's done. Many people have missed it, thinking they were talking about the Holy Spirit in that context. They were talking about you having the right spirit, having the right attitude, when you come to worship God, and according to what the Bible teaches, that's how you worship God in spirit and in truth. Having the right attitude, the right frame of mind when it comes down to worshiping the one true God. Thank you very much, ma'am. Brother Parker.
Okay.
And that certainly is what it is. It's in you. And the question that you asked really, really was a wonderful question, because
very good question.
Number one, you got to have a will to want to go to church.
Ooh,
that's hard to find in a lot of people. Well, I guess I go, and then some people later think I go tonight. Look, if you're able to go that morning, you're sinning against God. You're not at work, you're not nothing, you're laying in the bed. What's wrong with you? You know, so, you know, worship God in spirit and in truth. You go with the meaning or desire to worship God. Now, we have like two services. Most churches have two services. But if you study the origin of the church, they were sitting there all day long, woo-wee, going from house to house all day long, fellowshipping going on. We used to do a lot of it when I was growing up as a little boy in the church. I remember those days to this day. That was some wonderful times. You follow me? So you got to have that spirit to want to get up and worship God. You're going to meet the Lord. I know it might be somebody in there come up in there with alcohol on their breath and everything else and getting mad and angry and everything, but don't let them bother you, because Jesus is in the house. He said, wheresoever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. You're going to meet Jesus. Some people say you got to go to a big church to feel good. Why you got to go to a big church if it ain't one close to you or nothing like that? You go to the church that's with you, because Jesus is still there. And when you got that attitude, God will bless you. Will bless you. Brother Parker, is he on or whatever? If you have questions, ask questions like that. All the questions that you want. Please hit button number one and ask some more questions.
Yes, same with the Father. You got to have the right spirit. You got to be sincere about the whole thing. But unfortunately, some people, they're all sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. Because if you think you can free word of God just any way you choose, you have the wrong mentality. Because I was talking to a guy once who told me that I'm an American citizen, and as such, I can worship God any way I choose, according to the dictates of my own heart. So I told the man, I also am an American citizen, and I have the same right. However, as a child of God, that right don't even exist. You must worship God the way he told you to, not according to how you feel like you want to do it. God has never asked man about how you feel about doing this, how you feel about doing that. God just gave a command. Amen.
Right.
He never asked our opinion on how we felt about doing it. If God commanded, you do it. And that's just how it is. You know, I've heard people say stuff like, well, God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. It's more like this. If God said it, it's settled whether you believe it or not.
Amen.
The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 3, and what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. The Bible is right, whether men believe it or not. And but see, the thing about it is, too many people have been mistaught for so long, they accept that as true, although it's not. And believing in, see, part truth intermingled with a lie has the same effect as a complete lie. And people are just as much in the dark about it. That's why we have this program with you in mind. You can call us. We can discuss these things on the air. And thank you again, sister, for that phone call, for that question. That was a very, very good question. And we ask you to please call us. And we love everybody. And please call. We have a chance to discuss these things on the air. And we will not give you our opinion about that. You'll find that about the spirit and the truth. You'll find that in John 4 and verse 24. That's where it's found. And we'll give you book, chapter, and verse, and you have the chance to read it for yourself. We're not here to give you our opinions or our personal feelings. We're not at liberty to give that. We only give you what the Bible says. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. Again, 1-347-850-8256. 56. Thank you very much. Is there a call on the line?
Please.
No, sir. I have a question, though.
Go ahead.
What's the difference? They're praising God. You know, a lot of people say praising God and worshiping God.
Praising God is worshiping God.
Amen.
Let me explain something. What has happened today? Many people have taken the word praise out of context, and thinking it's getting all out of control and jumping and screaming and kicking and cleaning the island. No, praising. See, here, let's go to the Bible, okay? Go to Acts chapter 2. Now, here's the very first day the church got started. It's Acts chapter 2. In Acts 2, here we have the pattern of worship, the principle of worship. In Acts 2, at verse 41 and verse 42, the Bible says, "Then they that gladly received him were baptized, and the same day they were added them by 3,000 souls." Here it is. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking the bread and in prayers." And verse 47 says, "Praising God and having favor with all people." How did they praise God? It says, now you know it said praising God. So all we've got to find out then is, how did they praise God? How did they praise God? Did they praise God by dancing or beating or blowing or playing instruments? Let us find out then how did they praise God. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter and verse 15, it will tell us how to praise God. In Hebrews 13 and verse 15, the Bible says this. Hebrews 13 and verse 15, the Bible says, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of here and now praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." What is the fruit or the product of our lips? It's our voice. See, that's why we are told to sing. That's how they praise God. They praise God by singing, not by dancing or having a drill team or somebody in some leotards dancing around like a fool or somebody banging on some instruments. No, they praise God by singing. So praise is worship. It's just one of the form of worship. These days they just try to say praise and worship. Praise is worship. Praise is one of the forms, that one of the items of worship. But praise in the Bible sense is singing in New Testament church. It's singing. That's how they praise God. Brother Parker.
Yes, and not only that, there are five items that make a worship. And you know, some churches you go to, so called churches, they may do one thing, preach and pass the plate. Ouch! So all they want is they've turned it into nothing but a corporate entity. Now, he says, praise him. Lift him up in song and praise him. We have to praise. We have to give. We have to have the word preached. The five items is preaching, praying, singing, giving.
And communion, that's right.
And communion. That's all five items that make up a worship service. And they must be done all unto God, with God focused on it, you know. And he has told you what you got to give. He told you to be faithful in the worship of him. And so we have to do that. We should go to church, not no clowning up in there, nobody doing no foolish stuff and everything. You got to do it right in order to worship God. A lot of people go to church every Sunday, and they may as well get ready to go to hell, because they didn't even care to be there. Don't even look up. Don't look at nobody. Don't shake no hands. I know I still got to do that almost every Sunday. But that's bad. The mind somewhere else. I've been preaching all these years. I've seen all kinds of people in the church that sitting up in there doing nothing. They're there, but they're doing nothing. And that's not it. You got to be a part of all five of those items of worship with your heart and mind focused on Jesus Christ. For he is your Savior. And people don't understand that until they start getting blessed. When hard times come on you, God, it looks like a miracle happened to you. you got out of something that you don't know how you got out of. But if you do right, God is not going to let you leave here until he's ready for you to go. Brother Robin, do we have anybody else any questions?
Yes.
Please.
Yes. Also, in the same context, in Hebrews 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Get it now. In the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto thee. See, that's how we praise God. We praise God by singing. See, and this is the point that people miss. They think praise God can be done any way you feel like praising him. No, you got to praise him the way he told us to, and that directed is by singing. That's how we praise God. Please call
right.
us in the scriptures. Thank you again for that question, Brother Brown.
Wonderful.
Need to be made clear about that singing and praising God. Please call us. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Any more callers waiting?
We're looking for those.
We got some people on the line listening.
Yeah, well, that's wonderful. We got some people listening. Woo-wee! Thank you. God bless you. You know something? Now, this is what's happening to people in the church. You got folk now, that basketball game is on. And you got folk now that they don't want to listen to this. You know, that's why a lot of people are going to go to hell right now. They don't have time for Jesus. Too much excitement going on. Basketball, football, and track, all kind of racing events and everything going on is greater than Jesus. Ooh-wee. To a Christian, there is nothing greater than Jesus. You're going to mess around and lose your soul. Brother Robin.
Yeah, there's nothing more important going on out there than what's going on right here. I love watching the long game. But that's why you can record it and watch it later.
This is
more important than any ball game or anything else going on this planet right now than teaching the word of God. That's the most important thing. Because let me tell you something. Your soul is going to spend eternity somewhere.
Amen.
Your soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. So you got to decide. You got to decide right now where you want to go. What you do now will determine where you're going to spend your soul. Because see, we can't stay here forever in this body. This body
Amen.
Is going back to the dust. But your soul is eternal. It's going to spend eternity somewhere. And it's best to prepare now for what's going to go on then. Because there's nothing more important going on out there in the world than what's going on right now on the air. We're discussing the word of God, trying to help people who need help. See, if you're going to help someone, it's best to help them in the area where it's most needed. If a man come to you wanting something to eat, you wouldn't give him a pair of shoes, would you? He wants something to eat, not something for his feet. You know, so if you're going to help people, you help them in the area where it's most needed. I'm thankful that the people are on the line listening, but please call us so we can discuss it.
Amen.
So everybody can benefit from it. You know, we don't want the program to be all preaching and teaching. We want people to call so you get a chance to go to the Bible and see about these things, because don't lose your soul. Don't wait till judgment day to find out you were in error all these years. Don't wait till then. You got a chance to figure some things out right now. So don't wait till you die instead of with God and then find out you were in error all your life. Don't do that. While the blood runs
right.
warm in your veins at this point, while the blood runs warm in your veins, investigate. It pays to investigate before you invest. You have a chance now to investigate to see if what you believe in is acceptable in God's eyesight. So we step back to the same premise we started out with. How do you know that you're worshiping God acceptably? The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. While we're thinking about it, we want to pray for the Burton family. They lost their Uncle J.W., Leroy Burton, Sr.'s brother. And we're praying for the Burton family. in the loss of their loved one. And keep us posted on the funeral arrangements. We want to pray for the Burton family and read Psalms 46 for times like these. In the meantime, the number to call to question or comments is 1-347-850-8256. Brother Parker.
Yes. Ooh-wee. You know, you cut me real good, Brother Robbins. You know something? Some folks that are listening in, I know you can answer this question. I want you to answer this question. Can a man or woman be a member of the Church of Christ and shack with the opposite sex? Can they do that and just be as happy as they want to be shacking together? I'm talking about man and woman now. I'll get to the woman and woman and man later. But answer that one. Is that scriptural? Is that happening? Why? You know the truth, and you're not married? I need someone to call and answer my question. If they will. If not, Brother Robbins will, or Brother Parker, somebody answer my question.
Well, the Bible says, and it's just in Hebrews already, in Hebrews 13 and verse 4, the Bible teaches marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. That's what the Bible says. I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm just saying what the book says. And you notice it said marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. And you notice the marriage came before the bed. Marriage is honorable and the bed. So marriage comes first and then the bed. Too many people have put the bed before the marriage. And you wonder why we have all these problems now with teenage pregnancy and baby mama drama and baby daddy drama and all this kind of stuff going on. You know why? Because you put the bed before the marriage. Marriage on the Bible teaches that marriage is on but off. That's God's way. I don't care what society says. The Bible says marriage is on but off and the bed undefiled. So either you're gonna go by God's way or you're not. It's just that simple. There is no gray area. There is no middle of the road. You can't straddle the fence. You can't straddle the fence. You got to do it the way God said it. Amen. Brother Parker, you there?
Amen. Amen. You know, because I remember some years back, I found out that a boy and a girl were living together and both were in Christ, both in the church. And I found out about it. I began to teach them right there after church one Sunday. And the girl started crying, and the boy was looking mighty sad. And they got up that Sunday night and went on and repented and changed that foolishness. They went on and got married. I married them that night. Later on, they went and gave a good wedding. But I mentioned to him, I said this to him, marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. I told him, when you shacking, your bed is stinking. Oh, Jesus Christ. Boy, that odor is terrible. You both Christians, you're in a bed. It's a nasty place to be. Get married. We need a lot of marriage. It's happening more and more prevalent nowadays in the church. Young people are going all the way out. Not only that, we got gays. Now, you cannot be gay and go to heaven. You cannot be gay and go to heaven. If you're gay, you're telling God that he lied. There's a woman inside of me. Well, if it was a woman, then why you got all that stuff a man got? And women tell me, well, I'm a man. Why you got all the stuff women got? Ooh, get right, church, and let's go home. We don't even want to have to discuss that. Don't bring that up in the church. Please, Brother Robin.
Yes. Since it's off people are so much talking about it in current events now, and the thing with Bruce Jenner, and he wanted to be appearing on Vanity Fair magazine as a woman and all that kind of stuff, and some people applauding that stuff. Apparently, you know what the Bible says about that. Even in the Old Testament, it condemned it. The Bible said in Deuteronomy 22 and verse number 5, this is the Old Testament, even way back then it was wrong. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 22:5, it says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now, how can anybody read that and miss it? Apparently, Bruce Jenner, either he read it and don't care, or he knows in the Bible. And for all those people who go along with it, you are just as wrong as he is. Men shouldn't wear that, cause confusion when men put on women garments and vice versa. That's causing confusion. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33 that God is not the author of confusion. You're confusing our young folks. They have enough to deal with already. And now you're going to get them all confused about whether they're a man or a woman. But the Bible condemns that. Now, I don't care what the United States Constitution says. I don't care what state ratification says. I don't care what the president says. I don't care what the governor says.
Amen.
The Bible condemns it. Let us read that again. Deuteronomy 22 and verse number 5, the Bible reads, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. How can anybody read that passage and miss it? It's too plain. That is too clear. Unless some people are just straight up dishonest because the Bible is right. Now, if you feel that way, call us. Let's discuss it. Let's listen to the Bible and see what it says. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. 1-347-850-8256. Brother Paul.
Yes, that's Bruce Jenner you were talking about?
Yeah.
Bruce, yeah. Well, look at, I was called by some other preachers about Bruce Jenner. Most of them are not even in the Church of Christ. They kind of upset. See, they can't preach on a lot of those churches out there. They bringing gays and stuff in, and they can't preach about it. They can't say nothing about it. But in the Church of Christ, we're not going to allow that. Bruce Jenner, I looked at him on that picture, and now he looks just like a woman now. Got all everything's up now. He got his breast, and he got his long hair, and his face all trimmed up, and everything. Now he's gonna go and get the master surgery. He's gonna get rid of the male factor that he has that makes him a man, and turn that into a woman. He's gonna do that. Now that is totally pathetic, and by him doing it, you're gonna see. Man, thousands, if not tens of thousands, begin to do it now. Because you know how things happen in America. Once something gets popular, everybody wants it. Anything that gets popular, everybody want to do. This gay thing that got so popular now, the children were wearing gay T-shirts in the school there in Houston. And what happened was the principal sent them home and everything, and they said it was wrong, but then they fought it, and their parent fought it, and one girl come on back with her shirt on, be gay or something like that, it said on it. It's getting pathetic now. And we have a fight against us now. True believers has a fight that we got to make now. It's going to be a tough one too. Because if you know gays like we've seen, maybe you haven't experienced it, but as I traveled around the world, I experienced it, and the government prepared us for it. So there'd be some big burly men like them basketball players and football players with dresses on and stuff, and they will beat you to death if they can. we got a serious issue going on here. We don't see it yet, but we will. And people are like, well, I wouldn't be gay, but they can, but you need to stop that. And if you're in the church and you agree that being gay is all right, you may as well get your ticket to hell right now, Brother Robin.
Yes. And for those who say you want to see my notes, you can have every one of them. It's called B-I-B-L-E. Those are my notes.
Amen. Amen.
But you want to see the preacher's notes? Yes, you can see them. It's the B-I-B-L-E. You ought to have one.
Amen.
You ought to have one. Those are my notes. The B-I-B-L-E. That's my notes. So you want a copy of it? They still send them all over the country. You can find a copy.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, I give you one of my Bible. I give you one.
Amen.
You have one, I'll give you one. Those are my notes. The Bible condemns this kind of thing, and that kind of thing don't scare me. I'm not running for public office. I know it's bad grammar. I ain't running for nothing. I ain't running for the board. I ain't running for that. I ain't running for nothing. A lot of times, God be afraid to speak up because they're afraid it'll hurt them in the political arena or it'll hurt them on their job. I'm not running for anything.
You know what, Brother Robin, right now, and listeners, remember this. The answer to the salvation of America is in the Bible, in the church. That's the answer. If you're in the church, just get right, stay right. Because God has always spared his own. America is on the down road. We are falling as a great nation. And God has always saved his own. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we're out of time. Tune in every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30 on Block Radio. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. Once again, 1-347-50-8256. This program is sponsored by the Church of Christ in Brookshire, Texas, where Brother Robin serves as local minister. We cooperation with the Darren Luther, the Christ, with Brother Lewis Parker, the Fourth, as local minister. And our panel guests, Brother Robin, Brother Parker Jr., Brother Lewis Parker, the Fourth, and Brother Brown. Please tune in all next Thursday. Take care. May God bless you. May God keep you. Bye bye now. We're signing off.